since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Gamertag Radio. This is episode 1203. I'm Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
Oh my God. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. Danny's not here again, so it's a fantastic day. I actually was hanging out with Danny yesterday. I went up to LA, go see his new place, and we hung out with some other friends and stuff. So it was a good day. Danny's doing good. And it's you and I recording this week. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of news to talk about, so we'll figure it out as we go along, but everything's good.
I'm fairly certain he does this on purpose because there is no content. There's nothing to talk about. He's like, you know what? I'm out.
He's off the hook.
Anyways.
So, like I said, this is episode 1203. Thank you, everyone that's listening. Thank you, everyone that's watching us live on Twitch right now. I want to remind everyone, want to find us, you can find us over at Gamertag Radio. You want to subscribe to the podcast, we're literally everywhere. Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, the Vetrex podcast system, anything that you can get a podcast on, you can find Gamertag Radio. And if you want to leave us any feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. So like I said, there's not a lot to talk about, but there was some news that happened this week. And let's kind of start with PlayStation. Big news that came out of PlayStation this week was Project Spartacus, which is now basically the rebranded and fusion of PlayStation Plus and PS Now. There's three different tiers that we have of the service. And I'm curious, what do you think now that it's official? Is this something that you're interested in? Are you looking to upgrade or just stay with where you are with PlayStation Plus?
I was right. First off, I know last week you were like, you don't like to do, you don't want to give credence to leaks because half the time or more often than not, they're wrong. Right. But I don't know. I must have hit like that lucky spot on Reddit that dropped all those news nuggets. But other than that, I don't know. I'm still of the opinion that Game Pass, I think for me personally, is a better offering for it.
Let's get back to Game Pass, but I don't, I've always said from the get, we should be comparing them at all, because I don't think PlayStation was ever intending to try and compete with Game Pass, but I'm sorry.
That's okay. But you asked me for my opinion, so it doesn't matter. Game Pass for me personally is a better opportunity, just because for me personally, I think it gives me a better tangible return on what I get. If you're a Sony player, or if you're already blessed enough to have a PlayStation 5 in the household, or even a PlayStation 4, it's not that bad, right? At the end of the day, I'm still not a big fan of having three different tiers. I think they would be better suited with just one or two at the most. Cost is still a little suspect in my personal opinion. I think it's just a little too much. $17.99 for what is it? The extra, I believe, is what they called.
It's a premium.
Premium.
That's top tier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still don't know. I'm still not other, and that's, I think, for me personally, more so because I am primarily a PC player, right? And the ability to play on my device makes it a more appealing offering from Sony. But at the end of the day, it's not, I don't think I am personally the target demographic. Am I jealous because I don't get to play day and date? or I don't get to play year in year, right? At the end of the day, it's actually, you know, 2 minimum years before it actually gets to the PC. I don't know if I don't think I am the target demographic for this new PlayStation offering, or basically PlayStation Spartacus or Infinite, however they want to call it. What is the official name?
It's PlayStation Plus. PlayStation That's Plus? The official name.
At the end of the, okay.
There is the top tier is called PlayStation Plus Premium. Mm-hmm. The middle tier is PlayStation Plus Extra, and the one that we have today is called PlayStation Plus Essential.
Right. Okay. And I don't know if I'm 100% like thrilled. Like, I wouldn't be jumping out of my thing, you know, jumping out of my chair. But I do think it's the right first step for them, right? To start accepting, you know, cloud, you know, having the cloud service, giving more to the consumer, because knowing that now digital is starting to finally take its hold on a large population of the world, there is always going to be, you know, there's always going to be that part of the industry where people want to have the physicals, either because they want they want a tangible product or a tangible item in their hand for their price, or they want to take advantage of the secondary market and being able to just say, okay, look, I played it, I beat it, go back a week or two after they purchased it and still get like $40 if you're lucky, or consummate value for it. So I don't really knock folks that prefer that. It's their preference. Hey, and like we've always said, it's your choice. If you want to do that, it's totally up to you. We have no way, you know, none of us have the right to criticize you on that conversation. But I just don't know if it's for me personally.
Right on. And I totally get that. I mean, looking at this kind of first glance, I looked at it and said, the middle tier makes sense to me for what they're doing. I look at the premium tier, and you know, it's adding the back catalog of matter of fact, I can pull up right now. It's adding the back catalog of the PS2, the original PlayStation PS2 and PSP titles. You'll be able to both stream and download those. The kind of gotcha for me were two things. The game trial thing being put into the premium tier is kind of disappointing, honestly. I just think that should be an offering at the bottom tier as well. But the PS3 titles, you cannot download. Those are stream only. So again, this is where the cell processor is probably holding them back from getting mm-hmm. proper emulation going. I know there's some rumors about their continued work on it. Maybe one day we'll get some emulation going, at least on the PlayStation 5. So the PS3 games could be downloadable at the top tier. So when I look at that, because I'm not necessarily a guy that wants to have to pay for backwards compatibility, I actually lean more towards the Xbox approach that basically if you own a legacy title, you get to play it on the new hardware, whereas this one you have to pay at the top tier to be able to play any of these games. So that's a little disappointing to me. I probably would not get the premium tier because I don't see the value add there for me personally. The middle tier would probably make more sense because I could see a scenario of the fact that you're going to have access, you know, to some of the best PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 games, obviously not day and date, but they even mentioned basically like the PS5 launch library of things like Miles Morales, Returnal are going to be there. We know eventually you'll get things like Ratchet and Clank, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West, things like that will eventually come to that middle tier. So it really would come down to a patience thing. If you're probably okay waiting 12 to 18 months after a game launches, it's going to show up in that middle tier and you're going to be able to play it. And obviously the whole legacy PS4 catalog, I would imagine Last of Us 2, Ghost of Tsushima, things like that. Obviously the original God of War would be in there, the Uncharted stuff and all that. But I get what you're saying. I think for a lot of people, you're probably going to stick to that bottom tier of PlayStation Plus for what you already get with the cloud saves and obviously the multiplayer access, things like that. And, you know, the couple games they throw at you every month, you know, as a part of the bottom tier, you're probably just going to stick with that. I could see people that aren't, you know, keen to go spend $70 to play day and date some of these PlayStation 5 games that middle tier may make more sense to you. Because like I said, if you show some patience there, you'll be able to jump in on those titles probably 12 to 18 months after they launch. And obviously, you'll be able to play all the PS4 legacy titles. So I think the middle tier, if anyone's going to upgrade to anything, it's going to be that middle tier more so than jumping into the premium. Like I said, unless you're just really into wanting to play PS1, PS2 games, I'm just not seeing it be worth it. You know what I mean? So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. They obviously need to put more information out. We need to see what all actual games are going to be a part of this service at each tier when it launches in June. And then people can obviously make a value add decision at that time. Like I said, for me, if I was going to upgrade to anything, it would probably be that middle tier.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me, especially in the form of offerings, is when you talk about the games that are only available on PlayStation 3. So for me, PlayStation 3, when I think of the PlayStation 3 in that era, for me, it's the Infamous series, right? I have true core memories of me and my son going through Infamous 1, Infamous 2, Festival of Blood, and it's just, it does bother me that it almost feels like they're either choosing not to, or they're waiting to see if they need more time in order to develop the technology to be able to convert or port those cell architecture games over to a streamable, to a streamable platform or library for themselves. It does for me bother me. I mean, if they offered it, it would actually almost tip the balance of the scales over to doing it. But I do understand, and also to a certain extent, maybe a little bit of the Killzone series alongside with Resistance, right? But if you think about it, Sucker Punch and Guerrilla have both moved on. So, I think, while we'll never at this point see potentially additional content for those titles, or who knows, maybe they're working on those in the background for the PlayStation 5. But it would be good. It would be nice to have access to some of those games, because again, for me, Infamous was amazing and fun. I know there was always that battle between Killzone and Resistance and Halo. Oh, it's going to be the next biggest, FPS, etc. But they did bring quality games and fun to me, and I do appreciate that. Again, I just wish in this case that Sony gave a little bit more, and hopefully it is just a placeholder or just a pause button for the PS3. I'm not technically astute enough in game dev to determine whether it's possible or not. That's not my place. I would like to see it happen, though.
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple in my eyes that if they could do it, they'd be doing it. Mm. Clearly, there's obviously some technical challenge there, and everyone points the finger at the cell processor on why we're not going to be able to download PS3 games to play them, and they have to resort to cloud streaming. And, I'm a huge fan of cloud gaming. I do think we will see, that technology improve over time as infrastructure and latency is reduced to make it a more viable option. But having it as the only option to interact with PS3 mm-hmm. games is a disappointment. It is, and it is a deterrent for me even considering wanting to jump into the highest tier, because I'm really not a legacy, go back and play old games kind of guy. Even the remakes, I'm not a huge fan of. I'd rather, hey, I've played it, I've experienced it, let's move forward. I mean, there's obviously exceptions to the rule, but not enough that I want to basically give you an extra $3 a month to be able to have that option. Like I said, I would rather, if a legacy game means enough to me, I probably already own it in some form, still it be the physical media or digital license on it. I would rather have my ownership and be able to just go play it versus having to subscribe to something to have the option to go play it. And maybe even in these offerings, a game that I would consider may not even be in it. This is why we have to wait to get more information on that. So look, I get why PlayStation is doing this. When all this news came out, none of it surprised me. It's pretty much what I expected it to be. I'm sure that the different tiers will appeal to certain audiences, and you know, we'll go from there. Like I said, of all the value add to any of this, it for me it would be the middle tier that would make the most sense. But even that, I still need more information to see how that's going to work and what the cadence of games will be coming into the service. Will certain ones leave? What third party partnerships have they made? There's a lot of questions they still need to answer on that. But we'll see in June when it officially launches, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about it then.
Would you be able to play a PlayStation 3 title on your 4 or 5?
Streaming it.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you still had the disc, because you were talking about having...
No, that's the point. That's the point I'm making. It's a cell processor. They've not created emulation. So even if you have a PlayStation 3 disc, you put it in your PS4 or your PS5, it's not going to work. Yeah.
That's a shame.
Whereas, again, if you put the shoe on the other foot... With Xbox has said, if you have that disc or you have that digital license, you can play the game. Period. They've created that emulation, you know, for their back catalog, or at least for the vast majority of titles. I'm sure there's some exceptions out there, but I would rather have that than have to pay for the option to be able to play some old games. And I don't hear you.
Oh, really?
Now I do. Okay. So anything else on that?
No, that's it. I mean, I think the only, I want, I guess, more, me personally. You know, for others, it may be enough. It may be good enough for them. But for me, I think in a service like this, it doesn't truly, you know, it doesn't force me to open up my wallet and say, you know what, here's my user password, here's my credit card, go ahead and start charging me. Give me more and I think it'll entice me. But for those that feel that this is, you know, absolutely, you know, valid and viable for you, go for it. Please, you know, enjoy it if that's what you want. But for me, it's not enough for me to enter my information in the fields and press.
Yeah. And I think that's fair and valid. Like I said, this is basically just the announcement of it. Mm-hmm. There's still more information to come. And I think as we get more information, people can make an informed decision and go from there, because like I said, the use case is going to be different for everyone. Some people probably see that premium tier and they get excited about it because they do want to go back into the back catalog and they're willing to pay for the subscription to do it. Some people like myself see the medium tier, think, all right, I'm going to get access to some of the best PS4 and PS5 games that aren't day and date. All right, let's see what that looks like. And then other people are like, I'm going to just stick with what I already got because the other two tiers don't appeal to me. And, you know, we'll see when we get more information. So moving on, and let's just keep subscription mania going. So, of course, Xbox had to have some news this week because you knew they would. It's not officially from them. And there's two parts to this I want to talk about. They didn't officially say it, but Jez Corden over at Windows Central did some investigative work, and he found out that, yes, indeed, Game Pass is going to get a family subscription tier. The information that he got right now is it looks like it's going to be up to 5 family members. Pricing is still TBD, but it'll be gated by you have to be inside the country of the family owner, right? So all 5 family members will need to be in the United States to be able to take advantage of this. I can't have a cousin in Bucharest and he's gonna be able to get access to it. All 5 family members will need to be within the country's origin to be able to take advantage. And obviously Microsoft hasn't officially said any of this mm-hmm. yet, so we don't have pricing or 100% how it works. We're just going by what Jez said over at Windows Central. But you know, I've been talking about this, God, probably at least the last 2 years, that Game Pass needs a family subscription, because I have the use case here in my home because I have 3 children. Mm-hmm. I have my wife, even though she doesn't game that much, but just my three children, we all game. We're all playing. We all basically have access to an Xbox in this house. And we've run into those scenarios where, you know, you can do the game share thing. I have to be logged on one of the consoles and play, but we've run into many times where we all want to play at once and people get left out, so mm-hmm. much so that my oldest daughter, I just got her own Game Pass subscription so she could be able to play and you know, and I just manage the other two kids. But this works in my household. I'm actually surprised it's five people because I thought it was going to be four, but five is even more generous. But it kind of made me rethink what the pricing structure is going to look like. I was thinking more with four people anywhere from $19.99 to $29.99, probably more towards the $19.99. But now that they're adding that fifth person and to make me think more about it, it kind of makes sense if it's $29.99. I could see it being as high as $35, but $29.99 seems like a good number. It seems like a good value because you're basically doubling what the cost is of Ultimate. Also, I think whatever they're going to do, it's going to be Ultimate for the family. So you have access to PC cloud streaming as well. But yeah, you're basically doubling the price of the Ultimate tier at $30. And you're basically saying three people get access, quote unquote, for free. I think that's a good value proposition. I think that's a good marketing checkpoint for them. I can see a lot of families like myself seeing the value in that and wanting to go pick that up. So, and look, let's just be honest. Not everyone's going to be a true family member. There's probably going to be a couple friends here and there that are going to be jumping onto this too. This is probably why they're gating it to one country. But it's time. I'm glad they're doing this. And I'm curious your thoughts. What do you think?
All right. So I think this is personally targeted against me. living in Europe with a son in the States. But on a serious note, I mean, I think, you know, and of course, we're going to give him credit where his credit is due. We're going to give him his flowers for having this conversation years ago with Phil. But Danny did bring this up, you know, years ago.
I brought this up. Stop giving him credit for something he didn't say. I said this in 2014. I said it directly to Phil Spencer myself. That's how long I've been talking about this. How dare you try to give Danny credit for this?
Anyways, Gamertag Radio talked about it. Now,
I talked about it. Stop giving Danny credit. I'm the one that said it.
All right, fine. Paris, you talked about this. You
no, it was it up. Was Gamertag Radio. Right, we're team.
But I do think it's a good idea, and I think because they're able to leverage the back end technology from O365. That allows people within the same country or same region to be able to use the functions and features of O365 or Office 365. It makes sense, right? There's already an existing family plan for those, so I don't see why they wouldn't have been able to. You know, they already have the back end structure for it. Mm-hmm. As far as potential price, I think $15 or $20, maybe even $25 for two people would make sense. I think, you know, anywhere from $29.99 to $39.99 for up to five users makes sense. Maybe throw like a $5 per person type surcharge on it. You know, like, you know, $20-$25 for two. And then like for every $5, you can add another, an extra person. And if you think about it, it brings it right up to 35. So what you're saying does make sense. When you look at the number, when you look at the family structure, you know, two parents, and two, maybe three kids, it does kind of work. When you have larger families, maybe one of the families either, you know, one of the person doesn't, you know, doesn't necessarily or particularly play games. You know, it makes sense with even up to a family of six because, you know, at least one person may or may not ever, you know, may not ever play. It is a value add. I think if you have a family, yours is probably the perfect example, right? Where you've got, you know, three kids and two adults. Rox is never going to play. So we could be honest and serious about that, right? But I mean, that's huge. It's really, really good. And it's something that gamers want. It's something that that consumers have been asking for, they've been clamoring for, and to finally see it coming to fruition and seeing things that we've been asking for come to light, you know, kudos, you know, golf clap for finally rolling that out. Now, whether it's taken them this long to develop it or they're just finally getting to it is a different question. I don't know. But I'm curious if maybe like an O365 and Microsoft Xbox bundle doesn't eventually start taking form for consumers where you get an all-in-one family plan. You know?
Oh, are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so because I think they want to keep the consumer side away from the gamer side. I don't see them combining the two.
I don't know.
I don't see that happening.
If you think about it, they're entirely the same, right? Especially as you have kids getting older, going into high school, especially in these days, right, where almost every student has either a laptop or a tablet or both, or is fortunate enough for it. Especially when they start going to college, things are a lot more on the digital side, where you can use that. It actually starts making sense, right? Where you have a student. And I'm curious if they then start giving that little student discount, right? But you know, an opportunity to have a 365 mixed in with your Xbox, I think it's an opportunity as well for Microsoft and for the consumers.
I will respectfully disagree because I don't think you want to combine, like I said before, the consumer side with the gamer side, because now you're just muddying the waters with too many tiers and subscription options. And I think from a practicality standpoint, I'd rather keep them separate and make more money.
More SKUs.
If I was Microsoft.
More SKUs. I'm subscribing to the Danny theory now. Oh my God, I've gone nuts. I've lost it.
Now, the second part of this I wanted to bring up, sticking with Microsoft, is since we're talking their subscription tiers, it was funny because they also this week showed off Games for Gold for April. And it just reminded me, and I even tweeted this out at the time, they got to do something with Xbox Live Gold. The offering that they're giving at basically $60 a year, $5 a month, is more of a deterrent than it is a value proposition at that bottom tier. Of course, they're in the Game Pass business. They would absolutely love for everyone to just subscribe to Game Pass. And my initial thought was, well, just put Gold in the bottom tier of Game Pass. But now, technically, for people that don't want Game Pass, that still want to play multiplayer games, you're raising the price of Xbox Live Gold, which if you go back a year, they tried to do and everyone revolted against it, which they rolled it back. So I don't see them getting rid of Gold at $5 a month. I think it survives. But at the same time, those free games that they're throwing in with it are horrible. They're absolute bottom bin, you know, just bottom of the barrel, bargain bin type games that no one's interested in or wants to play. And this is where I think Game Pass is actually hurting Gold in that way, is because a lot of the games that they probably would have offered in previous years in Gold are on Game Pass. But I think the differentiating factor, and I think if I had to compromise, because I think Gold needs to evolve, I would take games that will be in Game Pass, but I would still offer them on Gold, because the thing about Gold is once you grab it that for that month, you own it. So even if you stop subscribing, you still have that game. You now own that digital license. You can play it whenever you want. I would make some deals with some indie studios. Take some of your existing legacy library. I would start making those some of the games that you find in Gold. So they look better. I mean, because when we talk about PlayStation Plus, more months than not, I see a game in PlayStation Plus that even if I'm not going to play it right away, I'll make sure I grab it so that I might come back to it at a later date. Whereas Gold, the last game I got out of Gold was January 2021, and it was Little Nightmares. That's it. Since then, there's not been a game I've seen an Xbox Live Gold that has any interest to me. So I definitely think I would love to see it just go away altogether and you just make multiplayer free. And then obviously you just have Game Pass, but I don't see them doing that because it does make them money. And you have people that clearly are still paying for Gold to have multiplayer access. So it's a revenue stream. They're not getting rid of that, but I think they need to up the ante of what you get as a value proposition in those games at the Gold tier. So I'm curious, after all that talking I just did, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, like you said, the value prop for Xbox Live Gold is easier on the consumer, right? I think it's $60 a year, or if you want to pay monthly, it's $10 a month US, whereas you know, a Game Pass is $10 to $15 per month. It depends on how often you're actually going and playing and downloading those games to make it very, very, you know, user-friendly or just worth the investment. Me personally, I think Game Pass just ends up being the better option. I prefer the all-you-can-eat gaming subscription model versus the, you know, I only get to choose what you give me. Seeing the number of available titles makes more sense, and especially as they start to add more games, either from their stuff from the ZeniMax acquisition or if and when the Activision acquisition comes to fruition. I think it makes more sense, personally. I agree with you with the offerings that they give you. They're not, and this is similar to what we were talking about earlier. It's not palatable enough. It doesn't give you the desire. It's almost underwhelming what they offer you, right? It, like you said, it's almost a disservice. I just roll it all up into Game Pass and just choose from there. I think it makes the value prop for Game Pass much larger by offering a game that you could download and eventually own as long as you have the service. Because that is the caveat, regardless of whether you're playing Game Pass or you're doing games for gold. That's the caveat. You have to keep your subscription active in order to be able to continue to use it, whether you're online or offline. So be that as it may, I just, you know, just kill the service altogether, roll the offering into Game Pass, and everybody's happier
for but that. Like I was saying before, they're not going to do that because you've effectively raised the price to play online. So they're not going to do that. They're keeping gold. That's not going to go away. That $60 a year is still going to be the entry point to playing multiplayer games online. They're not going to get rid of that. So that's why I was saying before, you can't, like, to me, I agree with you. I would just have Game Pass and be done. But then when you think about it from a standpoint of a consumer that does not want Game Pass, you just told me I have to spend more money to play online. They're not going to do that. So gold's going to stay around. That's why I say you need to make it more attractive, at least, instead of just having it as the multiplayer tax. Because when you compare it to what Sony's doing with PlayStation Plus, even though you don't own those PlayStation Plus games, if you stop subscribing on paper, you know, perception is reality. At their bottom tier, they look better than you at your bottom tier. That's what I'm saying. When I see games for gold, I roll my eyes every month. I'm like, yeah, it's not even worth my time to click the button to download it. I don't want to own these games. You know, just give me something that feels like I would at least want to make sure that I, even if I don't play it right away, I want to jump in and grab that just and make sure I have it. Yeah.
I remember they would do that early on, like right when they first announced Xbox Live Gold and the ability to download the games. There were offerings on there that made you like,
yeah,
woo, let me grab this one. I forgot to grab this one in the past. Right. But now it's just like, you know, yeah, it's bottom of the barrel offerings.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Even if the game exists in Game Pass, the thought would be, but if I grab it during this month of gold, I own it. I have it, even if I stop. And again, I'm just pulling a game out of my tuchus. But Death's Door, as an example, what if Death's Door was in Games for Gold 1 month? Even though I can play that game on Game Pass right now, I have the option to own it now. To me, that, hey, I see the value in that. And again, for someone that only subscribes to Gold and not Game Pass, now they get a chance to experience that game and they get to own it at the same time. So that's why I'm saying I think they need to evolve it and just make it look a little more attractive, because right now it truly looks like, and no offense to anyone that shops there, the freaking Dollar General of gaming subscriptions. It just looks terrible.
Maybe roll it into Game Pass and just drop the per month cost to $5.
They're not doing that either. They're not doing that. They're not going to lower the price. If anything, well, Game Pass still, is going to get more expensive at some point.
But it's still $60 a year if you drop it to $5 a month if you buy the yearly.
But right? Why would you drop Game Pass to $60 a month when it's $120 right now?
No, but I'm saying you're making this like essentially the essential version of PlayStation Plus, right? You're making
yourself, No, but I go back to my point. you just told Microsoft to take a 50% cut on Game Pass. They're not doing that.
I think you misunderstood what I'm saying. So right now for Xbox Live Gold, it's $60 a year if you pay up front, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference if they did it $5 a month or $60 a year?
I'm confused on what you're saying.
12 times 5 is still 60, right?
$60, but what are we talking about now?
But like you're just rolling it up. I think Xbox Live Gold just
But that's what I'm saying. Are you saying Game Pass is now $60?
But you get this is all you get though. I'm just saying get rid of the Xbox Live Gold because you're adding an extra SKU on top. Just make it an Xbox Live or an Xbox Game Pass. Like it's like the bottom, it's like tier one, right? And whereas the ultimate is
Just saying just call Gold Game Pass.
Yeah, just change it. Just why add the confusion?
But what am I getting at the bottom tier at $60?
Oh, no, you're getting bottom barrel games.
That's still horrible. that just changing the name doesn't do anything. Why would they do that?
I don't know. I think it reduces the confusion because people see Xbox Live Gold and then
I honestly don't think it's a confusion. I just think it's a value proposition. I think the value proposition for Gold right now sucks. That's what I think. I think it's as simple as that. I don't care what you call it. You could call it the freaking ColecoVision Pass. It doesn't matter. What you get for it sucks. So you need to evolve that. So I feel like I'm getting some type of value at that price point versus what I get right now. Because like you said, years ago, there definitely was value in it at that price point. And it's just progressively gotten worse. We've hit rock bottom with it now with the titles that they offer. So they need to figure out a better way to make that Xbox Live Gold tier seem more attractive, because when you compare it to PlayStation Plus, obviously when you compare it to Game Pass, it looks terrible. But at the same time, I shouldn't have to pay double the price of what I pay now to get more value out of what I get at Gold. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Because at the end of the day, it is, like you said, it's your entryway into online via the Xbox, right? And Game Pass includes Xbox Live Gold anyways, right? So, I don't know.
I'm breaking the fourth wall, looking at the chat, okay. Someone saying, you need to be subbed to Gold to continue to play a game that you downloaded for free. That's not true. That's the whole gimmick of Gold. If you grab a game on Gold, you own it. So if you unsubscribe from Gold and you don't pay for it anymore, you still own that game. That's the point. Hmm. So, but anyways, we actually went 40 minutes just talking about nonsense. So, anything else before we wrap this up? Because this was the subscription show.
Yeah. Well, kind of need a subscription for this next topic. You and I briefly brought it up before the show. Episode 2 for Halo. My personal opinion. I don't know. I think I liked episode 2 better than episode 1.
I did not. And kind of like I said this on Twitter as I was watching it in real time. And I'll say it here. These are very mild spoilers because I'm not talking about any story points. But I understand the gimmick of taking Chief's helmet off. I came to peace with that on episode 1. Mm-hmm. But you've overdone it now. It's too much. I mean, someone, a good friend of ours, said it best on social media. He's Commander Shepard at this point. This is Mass Effect. This is not Halo. I get the lore from the books. I get he has his helmet off a lot and all that, but you're taking too much. This is my personal opinion. Like, mm-hmm. People can disagree with me all they want, but I think you're taking too much away from the mystique of Spartan 117. They've humanized him way too quickly, in my opinion. Again, mild spoiler. He doesn't even have Cortana yet, and you've already humanized him to this point. Him having his helmet off so much, having his armor off for a great chunk of the episode. And again, I get it. I'm the gamer who has been playing this for 20 years, but you're taking too much away from that mystique of what I've envisioned Master Chief to be. And it was over these past 20 years, he's been humanized more and more to where we are now with Infinite, which I appreciate. And I feel like instead of taking us on that journey, at least through the first season of Halo, you literally did it in about an episode and a half. So I don't know. I'm not giving up on the show. I will continue to watch it to see where the story goes. But I actually liked episode two less than I did with one for that very reason.
Okay. I mean, the only reason I said I liked it better, episode one obviously had to introduce a lot. And the purpose of most episode ones for any series is you have to hook the viewer in. Because if you don't do it within that first 30, 45 minutes or whatever of the show, you potentially lose that person, whether they've got a vested interest in the title or not, right? Obviously, folks like yourself, myself, our listeners, our viewers, our Discord family, they all have that lore, that whether it's, you know, playing it with my son 10 years ago, or, you know, me, you, and Danny on multiplayer, on a co-op session, or what have you. Those are things where it brings us, we have an innate desire to want to continue watching it just because we want to see how it pans out, whether it becomes, you know, great, or we're just watching the accident on the expressway. But for me, on this week's episode, without spoiling or getting into that in any way, without having any action, which is surprising, because normally if you're not shooting guns or whatever in the episode, you've lost me in the first 10 minutes. Without it still kept my interest. I didn't fall asleep on the couch, which is usually the first sign of bad show. But I enjoyed it. Yes. Was it completely different from what you expect in Halo? Absolutely. But I think the fact that this is essentially separate from the original canon, like it allows them to use the show to split off from what we all know about Halo, and essentially live in its own dimension, or live in its own little universe or little bubble in the or corner of the universe. I think it's fine. Do I want more action moving forward? Yes. Will I hope to enjoy it more? I really do. I want something like this to do well. But I think I think it was shot rather well. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked it. I liked this week's episode. And, you know, hopefully this is just the next step, right? And I think I said last week, you know, it started low. So hopefully that bar was set low enough that every week improves and gets better and better. Enjoy it.
And that's fair. I mean, I'm not taking away from anyone's individual enjoyment. I think it's up to the viewer and decide what they like and what they don't like. You know, just gave my personal perspective on it. I'm not decommitting to the show. I will watch it through this season. I'm sure I'll watch season two as well. I was actually having this conversation with Danny yesterday, and I was even saying, I guess my hope is whatever. I actually think The Mandalorian is a detriment to this show because it came out first. Clearly both were in production at the same time, right? But there's a lot of parallels there with The Mandalorian. And I think The Mandalorian is handling obviously the relationship with Grogu, but even more importantly, how much you see him without his helmet on, to where when he takes that helmet off, it's a big moment in the show. Like every time we've seen him without his helmet on, it's been a pivotal moment in the show. Right. Whereas I think they've already taken that mystique away in just two episodes on Halo. So now him with his helmet off does not matter anymore. It isn't a big event. It isn't a grand thing in the scope of the show. So that's an unfortunate thing. But like I was telling Danny, is I hope the feedback that they get for season one, they have enough time when they go into production for season two to apply some lessons learned, to maybe make some improvements here and there. So we'll see. Again, the show's not terrible. No. Don't get me wrong at all. It's as a fan of this IP for 20 years, it's not everything I envisioned it to be, but it's not all about me at the same time. I get it. There's a broader audience out there that's probably never even been exposed to Halo, that's seeing all this for the first time, and maybe they dig it. You know,
right. So yeah, I think we'll see. I think I think what they said, I think this was what Kiki had said, it was mentioned something about this is like a silver timeline, or it's a separate timeline from right. what we all know. And it gives it a chance to tell its own story while still having the ability to take inspiration from the original and the core canon of, you know, Halo Combat Evolved all the way up through Infinite. Again, like I said, it's not a one-to-one reproduction. It doesn't have to be. I'm glad that they're taking some liberties. While I may not agree with all of them, and like you said, we talked about this last week as well, the removal of the helmet does change it. But I think, you know, they had talked about how that was core to be able to tell the story of John, which essentially what this is all about, right? We're learning more about what John 117 is all about, the man behind the mask, which it's not that bad. Do we want pew 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 all the time? Absolutely, but you know, we can't have pew 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 all the time. There has to be some storytelling. And I think this isn't a bad way to go about it. So again, I enjoyed it. I'm glad that we're actually getting a Halo TV show, because I thought, you know, when we first heard about it, it was great, and then it disappeared, and we thought it had gone the way of like half of Google's technical, you know, marvels that they build out. But I'm glad that we actually have something like this. And I think this opens the door potentially for other shows or other games to maybe eventually have stuff. I think Bungie, there's been talk about doing a Destiny TV show or some kind of a Destiny media
thing. Yeah, they're definitely doing that.
You know, so that opens, you know, that just like, okay, well, what other games? Because I mean, we've all been subjected to, you know, the Resident Evils of the past, and you know, the Uwe Boll destruction of video games in on the big screen. But I think having now seen, whether it's, you know, The Mandalorian on the TV show, for, you know, now we have this, you know, with Halo, Destiny, who says that we can't get, you know, other titles? Now, obviously we can't get PUBG on the big screen. That would be my personal favorite, but that's only, you know, it's only good for one show at the end of the day. But it does open the door, I think, for other longstanding IPs to eventually make it to the big screen or the little screen in the living room in a successful way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Completely agree on that. So, you know, overall, it'll be interesting to see as the series goes along, and, you know, what we get from Halo. And like I said, I just think as long as they listen to the audience, since we know they're getting season two, I think they'll be fine moving forward. Sure. Yeah, for sure. So I think that's it for this episode. Unless there's anything else, Pete.
No, that's it. I can't think of anything else.
Well, again, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode, and I want to remind you that if you want to leave us any feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Okay, I think that's it for this episode of Gamertag Radio 1203. It just blows my mind that it's been that many episodes, and really it's even more than that because we don't count the E3 episodes as canon, so to speak, right? But yeah, again, thank you everyone for listening to this episode. Thank you everyone that was here live as we recorded this on Twitch. So again, I'm Paris, that's Pete. Danny will be back on the next episode, and we'll see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.